Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. But the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? After the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
Say it again. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for your love, if it wasn't for your grace, where would we be? Well, good evening to the Light of Portland family. This is Pastor Kimberly Black coming to your homes live from Portland, Oregon, the city of roses, where the Spirit of the Lord is moving in the midst of his people. Greetings to you, my brothers and my sisters. First, want to say thank God for another day that he has allowed us to see, to hear, and to breathe. Yes, yes. What a joy it is to be among a body of believers that love the Lord on tonight. We truly want to give honor to God tonight for allowing us this opportunity and this privilege to be able to share the gospel with you, the good news with you, to pray with you, and to share the word of God with you. That's the most important thing, is that we receive the word of God. And so we are excited about tonight. Again, tonight, I've got two dynamic guests with me. I've got two women of God that are fireballs, one in Mapleton, Georgia, one right here in Portland, Oregon. And we're going to set the city, you know, I'm not trying to throw puns at words or anything, but the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, because this is Pentecost Sunday, fire fell, and the Holy Ghost fell, and the Spirit of God fell on the people, and their hearts were set on fire. Well, that's what's going to happen for us tonight. Our hearts are going to be set on fire. We don't take lightly what's happening all across the country. We do realize that pain is everywhere, destruction is everywhere, violence is everywhere, turmoil is everywhere, and we are not downplaying it because it's real. But our hearts are crying out to a God that is awesome, a God that's able to heal, a God that's able to deliver. And the way we get to that place of healing and restoration is through his Holy Spirit. So we want to say happy birthday to the church, because this is Pentecost Sunday, and we're just so excited. We've had a joyful time in the Lord on today, worshiping him and praising him. We want to give honor to those that share this platform with us. We thank God for the Butterfields, who are our sponsors for the Light of Portland, and it's truly a blessing to be in partnership as we co-labor together, amen, to spread the gospel, to spread the good news, and to enter into your homes week after week to encourage you and to strengthen you and to build you up, because that's what the church is all about. The church, as I said this morning, the church is not a building, it's not an organization, it's not a denomination, it's the people. And when we can reach the masses, then, and with the gospel, with the good news, then we are doing what God has commissioned and required us to do. And we are spread out tonight. We are spread out. There's people on the line in Georgia, people on the line in Texas, people on the line in Washington, California, and Oregon. And so we are reaching the masses on tonight. And so I hope that you have shared this phone number with your family and your friends to let them know that the word is going to come forth, prayer is going to come forth, worship is going to happen in this place. That's right, your house. Yeah, your high five yourself and say, worship is going to happen in my house. The word of God is going to come forth and come alive in my house. It's going to permeate in the walls and permeate on this couch. Yeah, the word of God is coming. The Spirit of the Lord is coming to my house. We honor the Butterfields. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And then for our co-laborer in the gospel, our sister girl, our friend, Pastor Sherelle Pennington, we honor you, woman of God. We appreciate you. We love you. We thank God for your work and that what he has assigned to your hands. And we just continue to look forward to the many more blessings that God is going to bestow upon you. We want to thank God for our own elder, Dante Farmer. Amen. He is the son of the greater saint, Stephen Missionary Baptist Church. Makes my heart proud. Makes me excited to see this young man so on fire for God. Got a chance to see him in action today as we went to a rally for all the clergymen of the city, came together to talk to our mayor and to pray and to sing songs of Zion. And Elder Farmer was able to share his testimony and express that what we want is justice, but we want it righteously. And so that's what we're praying tonight. All over this country, we're praying that justice will happen, and it will happen righteously, not just for our brother Floyd, but for so many other brown and black men and women who have lost their lives by the hands of those who have sworn to protect and serve us. And so we just want to continue in the midst of this pandemic. We want to continue to pray for our nation, continue to pray for the President of the United States, Donald Trump, pray for his staff, pray for your mayor, your governor, pray for your city police chief, commissioner, for the first responders. We want to continue to pray. We want to continue to lift them up. Tonight, I'm excited. Our guest, Minister Kathy Minniweather, is no stranger to those of us that live right here in the city of Portland. She is going to come, and she's going to bless us and lead us to the throne of grace. Amen. She's going to pray and bombard heaven and just go before the Father. And so I want to encourage you tonight, whatever it is that you are standing in need of. I don't know what your need may be. I don't know what your desire may be. I don't know what you hear God calling you to. I want to encourage you, get a pen, get a pencil, get a notebook, a tablet, and write your prayer request down. And as she's praying, you lay your hands on your prayer request, and you'll let your faith, with the words that come out of her mouth, let your faith and her words work a miracle, work a wonder in your life, and I know that you're interceding. After Minister Kathy has prayed, we will have a selection, and then you will hear from our speaker, Elder Ketty Copeland from Mapleton, Georgia tonight. She's going to come and bring us the word of God. Amen, my saints. It's praying time. Amen. Minister Kathy, we are bringing you on now.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We just come, Lord, right now. Father God, as hearts are bowed before you, eyes lifted up to you, O God. Father God of mercy, God of truth, God of all righteousness, we beseech you tonight, O God, by your own tender mercies, Lord God, that you would look in each heart right now as we are representatives of your people, ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Father God, as we come before you, Lord, we lift up holy hands unto you. You are a rock in a weary land, O God. You are shelter in the time of storm. And Father God, as hearts are breaking, our lives seem to be in turmoil because of what's happening all across the nation. But Lord, we can come and hide in our secret place in you. Father God, as people's prayer requests are being written right now, Father, I lay my hand on my phone, and I stand in the gap, O God, and we beseech you, O God, by your own tender mercies, that you would blot out all our transgressions, O God, that you would create in us clean hearts, O God. Lord, we want to be fit for the Master's use, and tonight we worship you, Lord. We are not rushing through this prayer. We just come to worship you, O God. We come to magnify you, God, and we come to lift up your holy name. You are worthy of all praise. You are worthy of all honor. And we ask that your sweet spirit, Lord, that he would fall afresh on us. You have called us to this day. You have called us to this hour. Father God, for whatever purpose, whatever you brought us through, the enemy tried all he could to keep us from making it to reach this day. But we come before you, O God. We come glorifying your name. We come lifting up the name of honor. We come thanking you for Jesus. We come lifting up our hands to you. We cast all our cares upon you, Lord, because we know you care for us. and we bless your name, oh God. Lord, we are running and we are hiding under the shadow of the Almighty God. And there we will find refuge. There we will find strength, oh God. There we will find peace, oh God. And there we will find mercy and tender love from you. Oh Lord, there is no God like our God. You are the first and the last. You are he who was and is to come. You are Alpha and Omega. You are our beginning and our end. And you know our first breath. And you know our last breath. And you know everything in between. And right now, oh God, we just bless your holy name. For you are worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun, Lord, to the going down of the same. We come to praise your name. We come to bless your holy name. We come to magnify you and let the world know that there is a balm in Gilead. There is a healing for the nation, and there is a reason for our living today. Our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, he stood in the gap for us. And Lord, right now, we stand in the gap for this turmoil that's happening in the United States. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask by your own tender mercy that you would arise up and give your people. Call your people, Lord. Call us to our knees, oh God. Call your house to order, Lord. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, Father God, we are humbling ourselves, oh God, not just tonight and not just yesterday, but your people have been praying, oh God. Lord, this virus called us to our knees, Lord. It may have closed the church house, but it opened up a room in the bedroom, Lord. It opened up a room in the prayer closet. It opened up a room in the living rooms, oh God. People have been crying out to you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. And we thank you for your power, Lord, your power divine. It is not by, Lord, anything that we have done. If I am here tonight, it is by your tender mercies, oh God. It is by your grace that I have come this far. And oh God, as we prepare to come before the throne to hear a word from the Lord, Lord, there is hearts. There are hearts that are breaking. There are needs. Folk are crying out to you, Lord. I know you love us, Lord. I know you love us, Lord. I know you love us, Lord. I've seen you work, Lord. I've seen you tear down walls. I've seen you open doors, Lord. I've seen you close doors, Lord. And I beseech you, oh God, do it again for your people. For everyone that is on this prayer line, Lord, whatever the needs are, and their families all across the land, all across the nations, all around the world. Oh, Lord, rise up in your people and be glorified. We honor you tonight, and we thank you for your spirit, Lord. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb. We bless the holy name of Jesus Christ. Righteous is his name. Holy is his name. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain on Calvary. How we bless you, Lord, and how we thank you. You are our Father. You are our provider. You are a way maker, Lord, and a miracle worker. And we just thank you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the call to get into position because you knew this day was coming. You knew this hour was coming. You knew you would need the praying women. You knew you would need the praying men. Hallelujah, Lord. So you told us to come. Get quiet before me. Lay yourself at my feet. Pray until you see a move of God. Lord, we have prayed. We have called. Some have fasted. And now we stand and proclaim the glory of the Lord our God. May the Lord our God and the beauty of your people, Lord, your beauty rest and rule in each and every one of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Father God, it is by your own grace and your own mercy that we're able to call you tonight. And Lord, because of that grace, we say, it is well with my soul. We thank you tonight, and we continue on in prayer. But, Lord, we yield the floor over to the message of the hour, and we bless and praise your holy name in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah and amen.
Good evening to each and every one of you. This is Elder Kitty Copeland, and I hope and pray that you all can hear me clearly as I bring forth the word. I praise God and thank God, and I'm so grateful for this opportunity to be before you. I thank God, and I'm grateful for the intercessor that prayed. Amen. I am grateful, and I thank God for this opportunity to be on this platform. Thank you to the Butterfields, to you, Pastor Pennington, to our host. I bless you, woman of God. I praise God for each and every one of you that will hear me on the line. I thank you on behalf of my Bishop, Bishop Tyrone Washington, and First Lady Jacqueline Washington, and Co-Pastor Pamela Laws. I come to you by way of Mableton, Georgia, and I am grateful just to be here on tonight. Amen. And as I go into the text, we're going to look at, amen, Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 20 all the way down to verse 30. Amen. And I thank you. Let's say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for it tonight, God. We ask, God, that you will have your way and move by your Spirit. We thank you, God, that you will continuously bless us and keep us, that you kept us throughout the day, God. I thank you, God, that you will decrease me and let your word be increased, Father. We thank you, God, that you're able to hide me behind the cross. Is these and other blessings we ask in Jesus Christ's name we pray. We say amen, amen, and amen. Amen. As we, I can truly say, I was sitting here and I said, Lord, what would you have me to tell your people on this night? What would you want me to say as your vessel of honor? And I pondered and I struggled, and he said, rest, just rest in me. And I can truly tell you, just being as transparent and as that I can possibly be, I am at a place of exhaustion, of tiredness, of fatigue, and it's not a physical fatigue, it's an emotional fatigue, it's a mental fatigue, it's a seeing the things that I'm seeing, and I know the word, and it says, be not weary in well-doing. You know, men's hearts are going to faint for the things that we see, but at the same time, these things become a burden. And he says, talk about the rest. Talk about resting in me. Tell my people to rest in me. He says, you got to rest in me. You have to trust the process. And I said, well, things I have never experienced before. Never in my entire life. Never have I... It seemed as if we entered into a year of opening, where your eyes begin to open and you begin to see things for what it truly is, and to experience things that we've never experienced, and yet we still see God's sovereignty, his hand still in the midst. And I said, okay, well, I could talk about rest, because I personally myself, I don't like to speak on something if it doesn't give me my own personal conviction, if you understand what I mean. I'm not somebody to just pick up a sermon and pick it up and give it to somebody to make it sound good. This, what I am speaking on tonight, is directly to help myself, and in the midst of me helping myself, I pray that it helps you too, because I too am in that place of exhaustion. And so as we looked at the word rest in Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 20, I read exactly what he said on key verse number 28 and 29. And then I said, oh, okay. Then I said, well, wait a minute. I need this to make sense to me all the way. So let me go a couple of verses above that. And it landed me, to my surprise, it landed me on verse 20. I said, whoa, wait a minute. There's something going on here. And I think, God, that you're about to teach me something and share something with me that was always here, but I never paid attention to it. See, that's the word of God. It's always there, but it's not until in the process of time is right, that scripture text leaps out and becomes a reality, because now we have something to relate it to versus it just being the true word of God in text, but now we can see it being walked out in reality, right? It's because the Bible is true, all the way true. All the events and everything that has taken place is true. But when we can take what we've seen years ago and see it happening right now in 2020, it brings a new meaning, and it shows us his sovereignty. It shows how his hand is always there, even in things that will take place later on in life. And so verse 20 starts off, and it says, "Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent." Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. In your Bible, the next verses all the way down to verse 30, that it should be in red, these are his exact words as Christ is speaking. And he goes, "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." Then he continues, verse 22, "But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you." Then verse 23, it says, "And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to the heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." And I said, "Well, okay, well, what, let's relay it. Let's make this relevant to today's time." So at the time when he was speaking, the cities that he's mentioning, these are cities where he was very familiar. Pretty much, if I put it in regular layman terms, these cities were his stomping ground. I mean, the people of these cities, the three cities that he's now rebuking, he's like, "Look, I done stepped on the scene. Y'all seen me and my disciples. Y'all seen the work that I've done. Not only have y'all seen my work, you heard me preach. You were right there when I was teaching you. You were right there when I was preaching to you. You were right there seeing the miracle signs and wonders. All the evidence of the power and authority that the Father had given him." So when he's beginning to rebuke them, these people were not heathens. These were people who were very well versed, very well taught, knew the word, saw the works that he had established in every single one of those cities. Then I said, "Well, wait a minute. Kind of sounds like us, huh? We got 50 states, and I'm pretty sure in all 50 states, we have a knowledge and know and have seen his works and the mighty works of his hands on the land. Every 50 states, and not only all 50 states, every single country has at least one witness that knows the power of the work of Jesus Christ. He has used at least one person in these towns to say, 'Hey, look at my vessel. This is whom I have endowed with power and authority. This is whom who I have given my word to preach and teach and to do the great works.' And you will see the signs and wonder follow them." Every place has at least one person. So now we're without an excuse to say, "Well, we didn't know. I never heard of it." Nope. I always tell people, let me tell you something. God and his sovereignty in his due time, he always sends at least one person in our path to get us back on track. It may not be the person that we think it should be, but he always sends at least one person to help us to have a eye-opening experience, to have the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. He always got one person. And so when he began to rebuke these cities were well known and they were well versed. They knew the tradition, the rituals, and this at this time on a Sunday, you know, pre-quarantine, everybody had a routine going on. On Sunday, we're going to get up about this time, eat breakfast, and then about this time, we're going to get there for Sunday school, and then about this time, we're going to start the church service, and about this time, we're going to read the program, and then about this time, the musician going to start. You know, kind of a routine, right? So then comes the disruptive behavior. Okay, we're not in a building. Everybody's back home. Let's go on to technology and let's continue to give the word. Let's revamp. Let's see how we can do things different, but yet still get the word of God out, still get the gospel out. So we are well, very well versed and very well able to, you know, shift if we need to, since we needed to shift. So when he began to talk to these cities and he's speaking, his telling them, because you refuse to repent. These cities were very well, one of which was a very, very established, wealthy city, to the point at one point it was the richest city in the world before it was taken captive by the Babylonians and the Romans. So when he begins to tell and speak to them, it was the Babylonians, Egyptians, and the Romans, and that city was Sidon, S-I-D-O-N. It was one of the most remarkable merchants in the whole wide world, one of the wealthiest. The luxury and the splendor and the infrastructures that it had at one point was, I mean, eye-opening, amazing. But it went into captivity by the Babylonians, the Egyptians and the Romans. So it's not how it used to be. The other city, Tyre, that was the city that Solomon used to gather all the material when he was preparing to build the temple. And then Bethsaida is the birthplace of where Philip, Andrew, and Peter lived. Then there's Capernaum. Capernaum, if we had to say it, Capernaum, honey, that's where all the work was being done. That's where they saw everything going down. That's where they seen where he wasn't just teaching and preaching. He was literally putting everything he said, you saw the action steps behind him. Capernaum was the place where the woman with the issue of blood, she got her healing. It was also the place where the two blind men, their eyes got open. It was also the place where Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. It was also the place where Peter's wife's mother, when she was dealing with that fever, where she got her healing. I mean, it was also the place where the centurion's servant received their healing. So Capernaum was like if they had to say it in today's term, honey, it was lit. That city was litty. The city was litty with all the works that he had done. And so when he comes and he starts it off and he says, oh yeah, woe to these cities because I'm rebuking them because they did not repent. The people begin to turn away even after everything he had done. Sounds like us, huh? Thing he has done after all the things he's delivered us and set us free from. We seem to go back into that same cycle. The cycle of disobedience is what was taught to us in Sunday school, where the children of Israel, they would be in love with God and be with God and be one with God. Then they'll go chasing other gods and then they would leave him and forget about him. Then he would have to send pretty much caused them to get into captivity Then they would have to cry back out to him. Then he would take them out of captivity. Then they would be back in love with him. Then the cycle would repeat again. Then they would fall, go chasing after other gods. Then he would have to bring them back into captivity. Then they would call back out to him. Does that not sound like us? So then we had the virus, and they told us to stay in place, shelter in place, but the people were yet being rebellious, so the people didn't want to do that. Then you still saw people running around, I'm not going to wear a mask, I'm not going to wear a glove. And then when people begin to pass away from the virus, people begin to call on God, let's pray for one another, let's help God, help us, help us. Then now it seems like we back into the same thing. He came and he brings relief. Now you don't hear anything about the deadly virus and people are dying. You don't see the many prayer requests. I don't know, maybe it's because people have become numb from what they're seeing, but you don't see it anymore. Now we've come to a place where innocent blood has been shed on the land. Because the people, they did not want to repent. Woe to the impenitent cities. Impenitent cities. That word. I said, well God, what does that word mean? It means impenitent. Not feeling shame or regret about one's actions or attitudes. What does that have to do with resting? We must first go backtrack to see exactly where we are. This is where we are as a nation, where nobody wants to feel the shame or the regret about any actions or attitudes that are taking place. The hearts have become hardened. The people have become ungenerous. The people refuse to turn from evil, wicked way. So when he begins to speak and he tells those cities that knew of his works, because they didn't want to repent, he now starts off on verse 25, because it's always hope. He always leaves us with hope. To know that we can always come back if we just be willing to turn from the hardened hearts, to just come back to him, because he is our first love. He starts 25 off, verse 25. At the time, Jesus answered and said, "Ask you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father." Now, all things that he's referring to is those secret things in the previous verse, those hidden things. If we want to know about the hidden things, we got to first stay in the secret place, so that the secrets can be revealed to us. And how are they revealed to us? Through him, through Christ. Stay in him. Stay in his secret place, and he'll reveal the secrets. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So it's up to the Father who he decides to reveal the secrets to. So there's different people out here. There's some people where everybody has the opportunity to come to him, but then there's certain people where he selects. I'm going to pan, pick, and select and reveal my secrets to certain ones whom he chooses. And he tells us, number 28, there's a clause. This is a disclaimer. If we want to be able to have the opportunity to be handpicked and selected to receive those secrets and those hidden things, here's the clause of what we must do. Come to me. That's step one. Come to me. Don't go to everything else around you. Come to me. That's step one. Step two, who is he talking to? He's talking and he tells us, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Now, he's not just talking about work. He's talking about regular work, like your job or whatever you do as a career or whatever you do as far as ministry. He's talking about that type of work or whatever you do from a day-to-day basis with your family. He's talking about that type of work. And then he says, who labor and are heavy laden. Now that labor now is toiling. Now he's talking about effortless toiling. Toiling and wasting time on things that make that don't mean anything. It doesn't lead to anything. Effortless toiling, I mean things that to no avail, it ain't gonna prove a point, it ain't gonna do nothing. It is not gonna glorify him, it's not gonna rectify any situation, just wasting time pretty much. And then he says, those who are heavy laden, the problems, the issues of life, the things that we've been praying for, and it seems like, all right, God, I'm tired. You get it. I'm tired. You in. You got it. That situation where you're like, I'm going to pick my battles. I ain't even going to entertain that. Heavy laden, things that become heavy weights on you. He then says, and I will give you rest. How do you get rest? Tag them in and just be like, oh, nope, I can't entertain that. I can't, I don't even need to give a reaction to that. I don't have to voice my opinion on that. I don't have to interject how I feel. He said, if you want the rest, say nothing. Just tag me in and follow my lead. Come to me. And then he even gives some more steps, disclaimers. He says, take my yoke upon you. Well, what is his yoke? What kind of yoke he got going on? The yoke of peace, the fruit of the spirit, meekness, not getting angry, not being wasteful with time, being about our Father's business. That's his yoke. He was always, there was never not a time in his life that he was not about his Father's business, even on his daily routine. He's sitting down at the table getting ready to eat dinner, and he's still doing his Father's business. He's out there fishing, and he's still doing his Father's business. Every time throughout his whole life, he was always about his Father's business. That's his yoke. Continues to tell us, and learn from me. Well, what are we going to learn from you? You're going to learn how to be gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So that's where the rest comes from. So I had to say, oh, okay. Well, if that's what all I got to do, then you got it. If that's all I got to do and know that you got it under control and don't worry about what my eyes physically see, and just trust that you got it, just trust the process, and be okay, and just be okay with knowing you got it, then hey, my hands is off of it. My hands is off of it. And that's where we find the rest in him. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what he promises us. Yes, it's hard. Yes, there are things going on that we don't understand. Yes, these things are frustrating and anger. I've had so many different emotions in a run of a day that I'm like, okay, let me go take a nap because this is too much. this is a lot going on. You know, this is a lot. He said, rest in me. Rest. Watch how I work this out. My hands is still, I am aware of everything. I see my children. I see everything. Nothing catches me by surprise. So rest. And his rest is listening to him. Be obedient. Hearing what he has to say, not what I have to say. Be gentle. In this time and in this season, we must be gentle. We must be gentle, using wisdom, because people are hurting. The worst thing that could happen, if I was out, let's say I decided to go take a walk, and for whatever reason I go on a trail, Silver Comet Trail, and a tree limb hits my leg in some kind of way, part of that tree limb daggers into my leg. Then I run into your yard, trample over your flower bed, knocking on your door looking for help. The first thing, the first immediate response would be, oh my gosh, I got to get her to the hospital. I got to get this girl some help. I got to get this woman some help. The first response should not be, oh my goodness, what you going to do about replacing the flower bed? Because you got all your blood on there. You see? Is that the right timing? Timing makes a difference with God. Yes, those things need to be said, but is it the right time to say it? Are there some discussions that need to take place? Yes, time to have that discussion. Because I'm going to tell you, if something like that, if something is lodged in my leg and you talking about a flower bed, oh, it is not going to be a good, it's not going to be a good outcome. It's not. Because the immediate response is to see that blood is being shed. What can I do to help this person? What can I do to alleviate the pain? What is it that I can do to just comfort them at a time that they need it the most? So it will require the other person to get out of themselves. If somebody came to me knocking on the door with something lodged in their foot, it will require me to stop what I'm doing, get out of myself and my schedule and my routine, and see about that person. But when you look at the nation, the uproar and No. It is not the appropriate time for it. You might have the right reason for it, but is it the appropriate time for it? So as we go throughout, including myself, keep in mind to rest in him. Take on his yoke. Know that he has everything up under his control, and listen to hear what he has to say so that we may find that rest in him. Now, that rest doesn't mean do absolutely nothing. That rest means be assured that he got it. He got it. He don't need IO. He got it. Unless he speaks to us to do something or say something, he got it handled. Every single one of us have a role to play. And when we respect each other's role in this season, we'll see how his hands can do marvelous and wonderful things. Amen? I turn the call over to you, dear.
Amen. Amen. What an awesome word tonight, Elder. Thank you so much for sharing what God placed on your heart for the people of God. I hope and pray, my brothers and sisters, that you have received the word in which the Spirit it was given unto us. Rest. The Bible says that people are called on would hold themselves and pray. And we know the rest of the instructions that's been given, but I want us to hear this vocabulary of my people. You know, God created everybody, black, brown, yellow, white, red. He created everybody. And what we need now and this time and this space is for everybody, amen, to rest, surrender to God, seek his face, turn from their wicked ways, pray. Then the Bible gives us a promise that God will hear from heaven and he would heal the land. Elder Copeland, thank you so much tonight for that word on tonight that we receive. I receive it. Amen. Rest. Let your mind rest. Turn off the social media. Turn off the TV and rest in the presence of God because he will restore you. He will replenish you. And while you're resting, don't forget to repent and then repent for your brothers and your sisters. Thank you so much for joining us tonight at the Light of Portland. We hope and pray that something has been said that will encourage you, that has encouraged you, that will strengthen you, that will intensify your love relationship with the Lord, and that will set your heart on fire to chase after him and to seek his face and then to rest in his presence. Until next Sunday. May the peace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, may it rest, rule, and abide with us, hence now and forevermore. And now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Until next Sunday, my brother and my sister, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God and stand. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Be blessed in Jesus' name. What?